Hello, everybody. Yeah, my name's Jenny List. I'm a member of various hackerspaces on this field, too numerous to mention, and you may know me. I write for a website called hackaday.com. I'm here to talk about a project that has consumed me over the last maybe year and a half, which is to create a digital cartridge to use with a Super 8 movie camera. There are various other digital cartridges out there on the market, or not on the market, rather, on YouTube and whatever. Nobody's selling one. But I'm dissatisfied with them because they all seem to require modification to the camera. I want something which you can drop into any camera and it just works. No sort of taking out the bits of the camera, no stuff sticking out the back of the camera or anything like that. So I'm afraid I'm not going to be able to demonstrate it today. We weren't able to get the Raspberry Pi to boot in the camera, but I can direct you to YouTube where you can see footage from it at least. Okay. First, a little something. It's kind of rendered moot by the demo not working, but if you're one of the people who you find at hacker camps who seems to have a problem with people having cameras or appearing on a camera, I'd suggest you probably shouldn't have come along to a talk about cameras because there may well be photographs taken of the audience. It's actually something, as you can see, I've written about for Hackaday because as somebody who goes to hack camps as a photographer, I have at times actually received abuse merely for having a camera. So if you have a problem with people having cameras, you're at the wrong talk. Right, Super 8. 8mm film, I think Kodak produced it originally in the 1930s. It's half of a 16mm film. Originally it was an open reel based format. You actually had two tracks of Super 8. It was so-called double 8. And so you ran it through one side and then you flipped it over and did the 8mm on the other side. And then when it was processed, it would be split up the middle. So you would have a continuous piece of 8mm film. It's actually the smallest of all the movie formats. And it was very popular as a home movie format. So if you were a sort of wannabe pro-looking home movie person, you might have splashed out lots of money for 16mm. If you're a filmmaker, you would certainly have used 16mm, and 35mm was for people shooting high-budget movies and whatever. Trouble is, open reel, particularly film, it's fiddly. You can accidentally expose it. There's all sorts of things that can go wrong. And in the 1960s, they wanted to make it super convenient. I mean, that was Kodak's, almost Kodak's raison d'etre, was to make cameras that would just touch and go. If you think of the still film cameras of the era, you had things like the Kodak Instamatic 126, where you just drop the cartridge in, shut the back, and you were ready to take pictures, no fiddling around. And this was the same idea for movie film. It was introduced in 1965. Alongside it was introduced Fuji's equivalent, which was single 8, which was a slightly different cartridge format, exactly the same film dimension, but a different film stock. Single 8 was sort of the Betamax to Super 8's VHS. There's a big format war. Well, not very big, because pretty much only Fuji and a couple of other manufacturers made single 8, and Super 8 won it. If you talk to 8mm enthusiasts, they will tell you that single 8 was better because the cameras had to have a metal film gate, but in practice they both take very similar pictures. I'm going to show you a 8mm cartridge. This one is actually the one I've been shooting last night in the dark. It's literally a drop-in cartridge. It has two reels, one above the other, and the film comes across a window at the end. This film actually has some of the sprocket holes cut out because it's the end of the film. But to use it, it's just simply a case of drop it in the film camera, click, shut the door, and it's ready to go. It's super convenient. On this cartridge, you've got 50 feet of film. That's about 15... Is that 15 meters? Sounds about right. That's about three minutes and 20 seconds of film, something like that, at 18 frames per second. So There's no sound on these cartridges. They did produce a sound version which had a magnetic tape strip on the back, but obviously that went by the wayside and you just can't get it anymore. It's not the most convenient in terms of shooting film. You've only got 3 minutes on a cartridge and you've got to be very careful shooting it. If you've seen me wandering around with 8mm cameras over the last couple of days, you've seen me hoarding it by shooting little sort of 5-second shots here and there. It's also quite expensive. Now probably more than it was back in the day because it's a very much a specialist niche product. But even then, it wasn't cheap for 3.5 minutes of film. Nevertheless, it was very popular because it was the only thing that was available, pretty much. So from 1965 through to about the end of the 80s, everybody's parents had one of these, or wanted one. Innumerable numbers of them were sold. Most of, if you're sort of in your sort of 50s or whatever, you probably find that some of your childhood was recorded on one of these, and somewhere in your parents' chest of drawers there's a few dusty reels, whatever. Then along came video, and overnight you could shoot as much as you wanted, you could erase tapes, you could put an hour on a tape, you could do all sorts of useful stuff with it, and this crashed and burned. I mean, I remember it still being a thing in the mid-80s, but it was very sort of, you're a bit odd if you had one then, and sort of by the 90s, I think the last time I saw somebody using one for real was probably early 80s at a family wedding. It survives though. Single 8, sadly, Fuji withdrew it, actually in about 2011. But Super 8 survives because enthusiasts and filmmakers still rate it. It gives an aesthetic that nothing else gives. The reason I'm shooting it is because I want to shoot this hacker camp and other hacker camps with the aesthetic of a 1970s home movie. Filmmakers use it because they like that aesthetic. And film students use it because, obviously, they want to learn the art of shooting real film. Even if during their professional careers they will probably do most of their work on video, it's important for them to be able to shoot on real film. So it survives. You can buy several different stocks, mostly Kodak, though there are one or two other sort of stocks that appear from time to time as companies perforate some 8mm stock. So there are different choices. There are reversal prints where you can project it on a screen. There are negative prints where you either have to get it printed onto another film or you get it scanned as I do. That is a negative print. There are black and white, there are colour, there are ones for low light. So there's quite some choices. It's still quite expensive though. I think it's about 40 quid or so for a cartridge, and you're looking at about 20 quid for processing and probably another 20 quid to get it scanned. So for 3.5 minutes, you've got to be committed to shoot Super 8 now. But it's worth doing. If you have a Super 8 camera, it's worth doing because you're not doing it as I want to shoot 3.5 minutes of film, because that's very bad value. You're in it for I want to record an event like a hacker camp bit by bit over the whole time. It becomes like an art project. On my YouTube channel, I have one I did for Born Hack last year. And it's actually a week-long camp, and I'm sort of all through the camp, I'm shooting little 3-second segments. And it actually came out quite nicely. Anyway, back in 2021, I found an 8mm camera in a second-hand store. They are fascinating machines because they're little mechanical marvels. They are internally, I mean, look at this thing. This one isn't by any means the smallest 8mm cameras. There are ones that are not much bigger than the cartridge inside this one. And yet they've crammed all the workings of a fully functional movie camera into this thing. If you're a tinkerer, a geek, a engineer, they're fascinating toys. And while on eBay and the like, you will find people expecting them to be worth enormous amounts of money as though they were coated in platinum. The fact is, in the 1970s, everybody had one of these, and thus there are millions of them out there in the world. There are lots of them are not very high quality. There are a few makes that are exceedingly high quality, but most of them are just consumer grade, and they can be found everywhere. Just search through secondhand stores, particularly try the Continental secondhand stores. I mean, every time I go to Bornhack or one of the Dutch hacker camps, I always check out their secondhand stores because I always find them for a few euros. So, yeah. Be careful, because you'll be sucked into a rabbit hole. But it's a fun rabbit hole. As I say, sod it, just do it. So, playing with my 8mm camera, I decided, hey, this is a cool piece of kit. I could make a digital cartridge for this. And it seems to be a thing that other hackers have tried, because there are several other projects similar. And so I set out with OpenSCAD, and I made quite a good facsimile of the exterior of an 8mm cartridge. You can actually download this from my GitHub somewhere if you want a 3D printable 8mm cartridge of your own. It's basically a very bare cartridge for you to add your own stuff and modify it as you see fit. I said about, I had a look at the camera, and I decided I didn't want to modify the camera. I wanted something I could drop into any camera. I didn't want to have to unscrew bits or whatever. So I came up with, come on, this. Now, that's the front of my 3D printed cartridge. And what I've made in there is a little insert. You can see it's in purple PLA. And that hole corresponds to where the frame of film sits. And you can't see it in this picture because I may not even be fitted, but I took the, you can buy very, very small sort of pinhole cameras for the Raspberry Pi or the ASP32 or whatever. And if you're very careful, you can lever off the crappy little lens and its housing, and you're just left with the sensor on a flexible PCB. And I mounted that to mount where the film would be. And so stick the sensor in the focal plane. The lens would focus on it, and this would be easy, and it would just work. And I would be the genius engineer who has made it work. And so I did that. And it didn't work. There is a problem that you don't really appreciate until you start working with film cameras. If you played around with things like the Raspberry Pi camera and stuff like that, it's easy to focus in because you twiddle the lens until it focuses, and there you have a camera. But film is by its nature a very, very thin product, and the emulsion on top of it is microscopically thin. I believe the modern color films, they have like the three layers with the dye attachment. And so it's actually a little bit thicker than black and white film, but it's still pretty thin. If you had the old Kodachrome, which of course can't be processed now, it was an exceedingly thin layer. So where the image has to be focused on is actually a very narrow area. And what I discovered is probably what other people have discovered before me, that if you just stick a digital camera sensor there, you're not actually in that focal plane, because the focal plane is right jammed up against the camera. The film is pushed there by a pressure plate, and it's a very thin zone during which the focus happens. And if you look at even a small digital camera sensor, it's actually a little glass box. So it's got a sort of very thin piece of glass, and then behind it a little space, and then effectively a chip, which is the array, the CMOS array or whatever you've got, for the camera. And so you can never quite focus, you can never quite get that CMOS array right in the focal plane if you're doing it in a camera designed for film, because simply you have to push it into the camera and you're hitting up against the metalwork of the camera. This is actually why a lot of these projects end up modifying the camera, because they end up taking away the bit it has to press against so they can move it forward. So I came up with another approach. I realized, after a bit of lateral thinking, that I could actually focus on the focal plane with a lens. So all I have to do I actually did this like one does at school in the physics lessons. I sort of drew lenses and lines and stuff. And I worked out that if I had effectively a macro lens focused on that place in the focal plane, it would actually focus and bring me whatever the lens was delivering to that sort of infinitely thin plane in space. And so I first of all played around with the little pinhole cameras. They weren't very good. And I came up with M12 lenses. Now, M12 lenses are great because, you know, photographic lenses, they're always bloody expensive. And it's true, the expensive ones are normally very good quality. But if you're buying a 35mm or a DSLR lens or whatever, even cheap ones are not cheap. And so if you want to experiment with lenses, you end up spending a lot of money. Now, M12 lenses are the little ones like it's an M12 screw thread. You find them on security cameras and all sorts of other little cameras. The great thing about them is you can buy them in all great big range of focal lengths. You can buy zoom lenses, you can buy all sorts, and they cost next to nothing. Now, I appreciate that they're not high quality. That's not the point of this. This is for experimenting with lenses. They're good enough quality for this, though, because for all that I love Super 8 film, the actual quality isn't that high. So what I did was, at the very, if you can see on the left of the image, there's just below my left thumb, there is a Raspberry Pi camera sensor, so you can see the flexible PCB curling away, and the Raspberry Pi is in my hand there. That's mounted on the back of the cartridge. Now, what I had to do to turn a lens designed to take like more distance pictures into a macro lens was I had to make it further away from the sensor. So immediately below my thumb, there is a 3D printed sort of extender that just pushes the whole thing out into the cartridge. On top of that is an M12 lens mount, which is yet again pennies from AliExpress. And screwed into that is an M12 lens. I think it was something like 14mm I settled on. I basically did an order for all the range of M12 lenses and found the one with the right angle of view to focus nicely on the focal plane for an 8mm image. And that, I was able to stick that in a cartridge, stick a Raspberry Pi on top of it, and actually produce images. Now, my first images, unfortunately, I was going to do a demo next, but it won't work. You can find them on my YouTube channel. The first images, they worked, but I had real problems getting the focus right. And then I realized, if you ever do this for yourself, don't do as I did, which was stick something on a table here and stick your camera here and focus on it, because you'll find you have something that is only focused at one point in the range of focus. So you can focus on something a meter away, but it's very difficult if you're working a meter away to make something that will also focus over here. So I spent a lot of time messing around with that. And if you look on my YouTube channel, you'll find I was using I have a plushie Tux and a bottle of Club Marta as my model. And I spent a lot of time playing with that. Eventually, I found out that the way to focus it is to point your camera at something very distant. I actually use clouds. Set the focus to infinity, and then tweak your little M12 lens until the cloud is in focus, and then magically everything else will be in focus because you've got the focal point exactly on that focal plane, which took me a long time. I'm kind of embarrassed. I'm not an optical scientist. I'm an electronic engineer and writer, so I should have figured that out quicker. Now, my apologies, I don't have a demo. As I say, I think I'm at Jenny List on YouTube. Go to my YouTube channel, you'll see it working. It probably makes this talk quicker, actually, if I don't have a demo. And by admitting that I can't get the demo working, at least I save the embarrassment of the demo not working while I'm trying to make it work. So, coming to my conclusion. Oddly, this is not a good digital cartridge. Now, there's one reason for this. It's not a good digital cartridge because you're taking not the world's highest quality film format, and you're trying to stick not the world's highest quality digital camera behind it. So this is not going to look like your DSLR. It, to be honest, at times it doesn't look as good as 8mm film, which is kind of unexpected, but thinking about the optics in use, that's not kind of surprising. The other thing is, on purpose, I haven't refined this. Now, that might sound really odd to say that, because, of course, you want to refine it. But I've made it so that there is space in there for a battery. If you really made a lot of effort, you could get an 18650 in there, but there's space in there for a pouch cell and one of the little, what's the word, charger regulator boards from Ali. There's certainly space for a Raspberry Pi, because I've put a Raspberry Pi in mine, the little Raspberry Pi Zero. And you can make a working cartridge. But since I started putting up the videos on YouTube, I've been besieged by people saying, when will you sell this? Now, I'm not in the business of selling things. But also, yeah, it's great to have a digital Super 8 cartridge. But I don't want to kill Super 8. I don't want to kill film. Because I don't want people to think, oh, I can just put a digital cartridge in that. I won't buy a film ever. Because the actual point of this format is not really digital. If you want a digital camera, there are N digital cameras. You can buy digital cameras very cheaply. You can even get digital cameras that work like film cameras and shoot like Super 8 out of the box. This is a film camera. If you want to make it digital, then I've shown you how you can do that. But I figure that there is a lot of effort to making 8mm film, so there probably ought to be a lot of effort to making a digital Super 8 film as well. So if you want to do it, there's the information here, but for the reason that I want to keep a barrier to doing this, because I don't want Super 8 to become a digital format, I'm not productizing this, so to speak. I wouldn't productize it because I'm not selling it. I don't sell stuff anymore. But at the same time, I don't want it to be something that becomes the replacement for film. Does that make any sense to you? I hope it does. You can argue with me afterwards. Anyway, that's been this cartridge. If any of you try it, I really would be interested to see. The interesting thing is that I've since figured out that the focus on the focal plane thing actually works with lots of other cameras. And so I've been playing around making the world's worst DSLR, which may be another talk in future, which is using the same technique on a wonderful East German Praktika camera from the 1970s with M42 screw lenses and a 3D printed housing with a mirror and a better Raspberry Pi camera to make the world's worst DSLR. So once you realize that you can use a macro lens to focus on the focal plane of a camera, there are endless more possibilities, and I'd encourage you to experiment. Anyway, I have one more thing to say, and it's nothing to do with this, because I say it at the end of everything I do. There's something else I'd like to talk about briefly. I'm one of the directors of a small non-profit called Trans Rescue. We exist to get trans people like me out of dodgy places worldwide. I'd love you to have a look at our website. If you were able to help, if you'd able to donate, that would be wonderful. But I always want to talk about Trans Rescue because it's something very important to me. Anyway, I have been Jenny List. You can find me at jennylist@mastodon.social. You can find me wandering around the camp at times. Does anybody have any questions? I don't know, how do we do questions here?
Thank you, Jenny. A big round of applause.